Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Amen. So is there any need that he cannot meet for you? Is there anything that he as a good father wouldn't delight to give you? Is there anything that he as a dad, you know, with me as just a natural dad, there just isn't anything that I'd want to withhold from my kids. There just isn't any good thing that I'd want to withhold from my kids. And sometimes I've even lavished upon them where I've spoiled them. And if that's the heart of a natural dad, how much more the heart of our Father in heaven for you.
Amen.
Oh, I want to encourage you. If you're here today and you're just feeling the weight of the Spirit that's in the world, I want to invite you to come into the Spirit of the kingdom of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm getting weirded out on that side. I don't know. Amen. Well, thank you, team. Thanks so much. Let's give him a hand. Well, I want to welcome everybody. If you're a guest here at Living Waters for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand or standing up so we can just get a look at you? Hi, how you doing? Welcome. Welcome. Good to see you. We just trust that, you know, God is such an intimate and such a close God. A lot of the worship this morning was about a God that isn't on some remote edge of the universe somewhere, but he's very, very close and very near. And he's a God that we can talk to. He's a daddy that we can rest in his arms and sit on his lap. One of my favorite things to do is just when there's those times where I need. And my daddy just says, come on, sit up, come on, crawl up on my lap. Make yourself at home. He's a good God. We do have just a day that I've just been anticipating, a day I've been waiting for. We have Mayor Stephanie and her husband Jim with us today. And I know that they're just going to release some things into the house that I know that we need to understand. Mayor Stephanie chairs a ministry called Love Elk River. It's part of Pray Elk River, kind of an extension. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, I just want to share something with you that I just really feel like this is a time, this is a season for the house. I really believe that God is kind of putting an exclamation mark on the poor and the needy. That God wants us to be aware that there are poor and needy around us, and it's our call to reach out to the poor and the needy. And I'm not just talking financially destitute. I'm talking about people that are needy emotionally. You know, you can have a poverty in friendships. You can have a poverty in so many different areas of life. And those of us that have been given all the riches of the kingdom of heaven, you know, and as we learn to walk in those things, the more we walk in those things and give them out, the more it's going to open us up to receive the greater things of the kingdom. That's just a principle. That's just the way this works. You know, I know that God wants to break off a spirit of poverty and poverty mentality, poverty mindsets in every aspect, every area of our lives. You know, and again, I emphasize, it's so much more than money. Money is kind of an indicator of what's in our hearts. How we handle money, how we handle finances, what we do with the dollars and cents might be an indicator of what's in our hearts. But there's so much more. And I just believe that God really wants to expand our understanding of the kingdom of God and how it relates to us in this world and how we release the kingdom. God has to release the kingdom through people. And you're carriers of the kingdom. So it's good news, and that's part of what we're going to hear today. I'm just really excited for this. So, video announcements. We got some video announcements going there, Guy. All right. Oh, sorry about the technical difficulties there. But I think we got the picture. Kids, are you ready? We can release the children to Sunday school. Go for it, guys. Uh-oh. We do want to mention, please read your bulletins. Wednesday night, Alan Ross will be here. Alan is a good friend of this house, prophetic minister. And we have the family and youth groups that meet on Wednesday night, but it really is an open meeting. And if you want to come, you're just, everybody is very, very welcome. We encourage you. Alan carries usually a pretty good prophetic word. He sees things that he usually brings a very, very timely word for the house and releases many individual words as well. So Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday night fire. Man, it seems like forever since we've done that. Looking forward to that. That's going to be next Saturday night at 6 o'clock. So, one other thing. Becky Anderson, many of you have been visiting her. We've been praying for her. She's a part of this house. And she is really in her final, it seems, what seems to be her final moments on this in this realm. And just continue to hold her and her family in your prayers. We've been visiting with her a little bit, and she's in a good place in her heart. She's just in a good place, and we're just continuing to believe that God would want to touch her and heal her. And yet if that doesn't happen, you know, she's in a good place and she'll be all right. It's those of us that need to wrestle with it. She'll have understanding and we'll still be wrestling with the things. So, well, let's just lift Becky, if we could do that together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for Becky. Lord, we thank you for how she has touched so many lives, God. Father, we thank you that you are very mindful of Becky right where she's at. Father, and we just continue to know that cancer is not something that you use to discipline or chasten, but it's a work of the enemy. And Father, we just continue to stand, Lord, that Jesus, you came to destroy the works of the wicked one. And we're continuing to ask for destruction of cancer in Becky's body. Lord, that stuff cannot stand in her. Lord, she's been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. She's a daughter of the Most High. We just continue to stand for healing in her physical body. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, your grace, your mercy, your wisdom. Bless Becky, Lord. Comfort her, establish her. In your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, it's funny, every now and then you do something that you just don't even realize that you're doing. And I got dressed this morning, and my wife didn't dress me. Uh-oh. That's bad news. So as I was leaving this morning, I went and I put on my old ratty shoes. I mean, I just didn't think of it. You know how sometimes you just do things out of form and out of ritual and out of habit? And you just kind of, you do it without thinking. And you forget to go the extra mile and you purpose to put on the shoes that you're supposed to put on and that you're supposed to be walking in. I don't like to super spiritualize things, you know. Or I face it, I just blew it. I was just lost in the ozone somewhere and I put on my old shoes. But in many ways, it kind of speaks to our life in Christ, how that sometimes we get so familiar with something. We get so familiar with our walk. Sometimes we get so familiar with the things that we've done, the things that we've always believed, with the things that have become habit to us. And just without thinking whether it's the right thing to do or not, we just put on our old shoes. And I, or what? Or our old thinking. Yes, our old thinking. We can put that in there. And I just believe that there's a time, this is a season where God is going to start to change some of our mindsets. He's been, in the last few years, how many know that he's been changing a lot of mindsets? I believe that we're in a season where there's just going to be coming another acceleration of mindset changes. Things that we've maybe valued, things that have been comfortable, things that have been just a part of our lives, and God is going to start to awaken us to the new shoes, to the new walks, the new things that he wants us to walk in. I hope that makes sense. But, you know, we're just never content to just settle back into some kind of a comfortable form of Christianity, some kind of a comfortable form and ritual, and call that faith. Faith, by its very nature, is something that is always progressive and is always moving, is always reaching out to accomplish and to conquer. I know this last week I went and I had ministry from Ellis, man, it was pretty cool. It was a good time. Why did I go get ministry from Alice? I've never had ministry from Alice. If you don't know, Alice does inner healing, deliverance type things. And it might be odd for a pastor to stand up and say that I need deliverance. But there are some areas that I know that God wanted me to conquer, some areas that I've been after, that I've been pursuing. And it's like there's just been something that has been hindering. And I went on Monday and I got ministry through Alice and Kelly. And something shifted. Something not quite tangible out here, but something in here shifted. I want to encourage us as a body of believers that we're all in a place where there's land that God wants us to conquer. That we're all in a position where God wants us to be stretching. God wants us to be reaching just a little bit farther. And the things that I'm reaching for might not be the things that you're reaching for. Some of the things that you're reaching for, you probably have conquered, and I'm still pursuing. And there's liberty for each of us to love one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up. And there's freedom in the context of relationship with one another. To just release the new thing that God's doing. So I just want to encourage us. Just a quick blip of something that I just believe is in the heart of the Lord. And just start to be aware of the things that God wants to change and the things that God wants to shift in your life and in our understanding. I believe today there's going to be some mindset changes as Mayor Stephanie comes and preaches to us. Leslie, come on up and take an offering.
Well, that's good. He just set me up for what I was going to say about the offering, so hey. But before that, I always forget, so I'm going to do it right away. If you would like an envelope so that your contributions can be tracked for you, and just raise your hand, and the ushers will give you one. And also your prayer card, or the cards inside your bulletin where you can put any information about yourself, if you'd like to talk to Pastor Dave, or if you have a prayer need. You know, that sometimes we kind of get, that's that old mindset. We think, oh, yeah, I'm okay. And yet there might be something that you really are praying about. Well, have other people pray with you. You can write it down. You don't even have to put your name. Just put down your prayer request and put it in the offering basket. If you're not going to put anything on it, put it back in anyway, and we'll recycle them, so. All right, is that all I needed to do about that stuff? Okay, right? Okay. You talked about mindset changing, and so I'm not going to actually say anything about offering right now, but I want to tell you, I want to give you a testimony about, a couple weeks ago I was telling you God's been cracking some of my mindsets, remember? And I thought maybe I'd like to share a little bit about that with you. As people of God, we're always walking in the portion that we have by faith. But like Dave said, there's always more. God is an infinite God. It's like we were singing about our portion. God is our portion. Well, you know, I used to feel like in my brain whenever I heard that, it was like a piece of pie. You know, that's just a portion, just a little portion of the whole thing. And all of a sudden, one day I realized, no, a portion of infinite is infinite. Ha. Huh. Our portion in God is infinite. It's not just a little piece or enough for, you know, it's anyway, so that's a mindset. That's a cracking. And I listened to a sermon from a pastor from Bethel on the computer about 3 weeks ago, and it started to really crack some things that I had been living under, even in my own life, about money, about, well, I know I haven't been as faithful about this in money as I should have, so I guess I'm kind of just at this place because that's where God's going to keep me because of that. But, you know, I'm okay because God's good, da-da-da-da. There's a part in his sermon that will break that off of you, that you deserve to have it a little hard a little bit if you've blown it. Does that sound like good news?
Yeah.
Okay, there's lots more on that. So I want to tell you how to listen to that sermon. It is, you go to the Living Waters website. Henry put it on. You got to look at it if you don't know what's in here. Go to the website, hit featured article, and it will. And you'll play. It's about an hour and a half, so you're going to have to sit and listen. Get your Bible. It's good. That's only one thing that was in there that was really good. So that is really helping me. It's the washing of the word. Remember, God said our mind is transformed by the washing of the word? Okay, here's a word. Revelation knowledge that can help us all go into the more of God. The other thing, when we had a fire tunnel a couple weeks ago, and if you don't know what that is, it's everybody gets around and everybody goes through this tunnel and you get prayed for by everybody in the church. So you really get a power. You really get imparted with the Lord. And I didn't really have any physical needs. And so I just, you know, I went because you want everything God's got. And I thought, and afterwards I'm going, I really got hit from somebody. And I thought, well, what happened? And then about a week later, I realized, do you know what? The kind of little bit of worry and anxiety I have been having about our budget and whether there's going to be money to pay the bills, because we're kind of going through that too, it's gone.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what, I am not worried. Now, this is weird. Is it irresponsible to not be worried? The world would say yes. God says no. He did something inside of me that no one else could do. And I don't know if any of you got anything like that when you were going through those things, but see, it's not just physical healing. He wants to bring us freedom in all parts of our life. I definitely feel freer now. I am freer to give. I'm freer to enjoy my day, you know? So I just want to tell you, God's good, there's more, and so you can go to the website if you want to. I've already listened to it 3 times, and I'll probably listen to it more because you know what? Sometimes mindsets, they die hard.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just want to thank you again for being good, and we are bringing you our offering today, whether it is much in the world's eyes or just a little. It is a blessing to you, and we thank you, Lord. We are expecting that because of your goodness and your word, that as we give, you will provide for us, and we will have even more to bless others with. So we ask you to bless this offering. We bless this money. Multiply it, God, just like you did the loaves and the fishes. Multiply this money to use in your kingdom. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Leslie. Did you forget something?
Yeah, but you'll remember in a minute.
Go ahead, ushers. Bless you as you give. We just want to thank you for your generosity. You are a generous body, and we just appreciate who you are in that way. That was good. I really appreciated what Leslie said. Just doesn't that... Isn't there just something in the heart of man that cries out for freedom, that cries out for liberty? I believe that this nation was formed by people whose heart cry was for liberty, for freedom. Their heart cry, and we heard about religious liberty and religious freedom, you know, that the Puritans originally came over and wanted to establish something. But there was a heart cry in many others who had this pioneering spirit that just needed to be set free from status quo. But here's the thing. That desire, although that's a God-given desire for liberty and pursuit, if it's not tempered with relationship with Christ, it becomes selfish in nature, it becomes independent. It becomes something that abuses and uses others for the sake of their own liberty. When liberty is coupled with relationship with Christ, it becomes something that sets you free so that with the purpose of setting others free. It becomes something where you receive liberty so that you can bring liberty. And it becomes very selfless in nature. You know, the selfishness, I believe was the decade of the 90s, was the decade of self, where everything was focused on self. And something happened in the soul of this nation where this extreme self-centeredness worked a poverty spirit, a poverty heart, poverty mentality. And we're just breaking free of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Leslie, come on back up. Leslie is going to... Because Leslie works with Love Elk River, too, and I just asked if Leslie would introduce Mayor Stephanie. Let's give Stephanie...
Come on up a little. So was this... Yeah. Because I did the offering, I don't know if that was a setup or not, but it just came out that way.
She thought she talked too long already.
So I did. So I
she didn't.
anyway, Love Elk River is kind of a little gem that God's kind of kept undercover sometimes, but it's going to start coming out more. And it's a really awesome ministry. And Stephanie has kind of been at the beginning of it from the very first. So I don't know if you were going to talk about the very beginnings or should I do that? Just
go ahead.
Okay. Probably 8 years ago or so when there was our first community worship service. We, you know, a lot of the churches canceled their services, and we all went to worship God in the high school. And the offering that was taken that day was given to Stephanie as mayor to use for people in need when they came to her. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then out of that, Stephanie realized that when people were in that place of needing financial, you know, needs met, they also needed somebody to come pray with them. Mm-hmm. And so she started coming to the Elk River Intercessors meetings and saying, you know what, we need people, right? You yep. would come and say, we need people to go and pray with these people that are coming. Mm-hmm. They need to, you know, we need to hear from God what he wants done for them. And they need somebody to give them hope. And so she kept, she started coming and saying that, you know, and I don't know how much response you got. You know, I sat there going, oh, I don't really need another thing to do, you know. But anyway, eventually I got into Love Elk River, and it's been a real blessing. We are under Pray Elk River, the pastors that are united in the city. And we go when someone calls us and they're open to having people, to a team of two come. We send people over to pray, encourage, help. If God says we're supposed to do something, we do it. If it's given the money, we do it. If it's to be there, watch their kids, whatever. And then if they're willing, then we walk alongside of them. We disciple them. And it's been a blessing to me. And yeah, there's Dana. I see Dana there. So anyway, she's going to tell you about that and also the revelation God's given her.
Thank you, Leslie, very much. And you don't talk too much. In fact, you don't talk enough. I need to hear more from you. I'm going to sit.
And I actually did forget something.
Okay. Oh.
I was supposed to remind you. One of the reasons I wanted to have Mayor Stephanie in is so that we could, as a body, sow into Love Elk River.
Oh.
And I mentioned last week that we're going to be taking a second offering today. And after Stephanie is done, we'll take an offering that will go totally to Love Elk River. So as she speaks, just prepare your heart and see what God would want you to do, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much, Pastor Dave. It's wonderful to be here. Living Waters Church is one of my favorite congregations, and you are in the city of Elk River, so you are in the Church of Elk River. We're all in this together. Sue is holding up the, has this been passed out yet, Sue? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and do that now? There's a sheet you're going to be getting. It's got two sides, and these are some documents that have come through Love Elk River and Pray Elk River that talk about elimination of systemic poverty, and that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. This actually is part of my book. I mean, everybody writes a book. In fact, and I listen to people, and they sound really good, but then when they say, you know, you can read it in my book, I go, oh, well, I should have listened better. But anyway, it's almost like if you write a book, you become an expert on everything. So I'm not an expert on everything, but even here in this church, Alan has prophesied that I would write a book, and he was absolutely right. Cindy Jacobs has said that. Ed Savoso has said that. Several other people have said that. So that's what I'm doing. So some of the things that I have here are things that I've done as a research for the book that I'm writing called Anointed for Government. But what I want to give you is I want to give you what pertains to what's happening in the city, and it's really exciting about the work that we're about through Pray Elk River and Love Elk River about eliminating systemic poverty in the city of Elk River, the very first place that it will happen, and it's going to be done in such a way that we will all be involved. None of you will be left out of this, and I think that's really exciting. The reason that elimination of systemic poverty came about for us is because we have been fathered and discipled and mentored in our city-reaching efforts through Harvest Evangelism, which is led by Ed Silvoso. And Ed Silvoso's teaching on city-reaching and its advancing the kingdom of God into the city includes five pivotal paradigms, and you actually have them on one side of this yellow sheet. They're listed, 1 through 5. I'm not going to read them, but the one that we're really intent upon right now, and the one that he actually, Ed Silvoso, put us on the road to solving or to going to the Lord to find out how to do this, would be 5. It states, nation transformation must be tangible. In other words, it's evident, it's visible, with the premier social indicator being the elimination of systemic poverty. In other words, if a city is transformed into the kingdom of God, then a tangible evidence of that, in fact, the premier tangible evidence, will be that systemic poverty will be eliminated. So Ed was here in Minnesota about a couple years ago, and he asked me, first of all, and he asked the pastors at the same time, but he said to me, would you take on the fifth paradigm and bring that to a conclusion where it can actually be seen? So in other words, can you work on getting systemic poverty eliminated in the city? And my answer was yes. You know, I think that we are far enough along with our unity and far enough along with prayer intercession and all kinds of things that have been going on for years here in this city that we are ready to move into what God would be saying about elimination of systemic poverty. Now, as I'm going to explain, we're not talking about eliminating poverty. Jesus said the poor will always be with us, and that was absolutely true. We're talking about the system of poverty, and the system of poverty is the system that holds people in place, in other words, doesn't allow them to be released from a lifestyle of poverty. And it comes in several different areas, as Ed teaches, not only just material poverty, it also comes in motivational poverty and relational poverty and spiritual poverty, and then, of course, material poverty. So there's a lot of work to be done yet, but we're on the road, and I wanted to give you the good news that we are on the road here, and I wanted to tell you where we are and what we've done so you'll understand what that is. Well, when Ed Silvoso asked us to take on that fifth paradigm, elimination of systemic poverty, we just started to research. And by we, I mean members of Love Elk River, because we are the kind of the branch of Pray Elk River that deals with poverty and with helping ministries. And so I first wanted to tell you what the Holy Spirit revealed in our research. And it was basically research from kind of a secular research to begin with. So I wanted to give you that because we realized that it was really the world is where systemic poverty exists. The world not only holds it there, is host to it, but it also is where it was created. In fact, the world did create systemic poverty, and it's fostered that system for a very long time because of misplaced compassion and ignorance of God's plan for the poor. That's really why it's there. It's misplaced compassion and ignorance of God's plan for the poor. In other words, we have compassion, but it's really not the kind of compassion that would allow people to be brought up and fostered into independence, but it's a compassion that says, poor you, we have to help you out, and since we have to do it, we have to keep doing it, and you will not change. The old government welfare programs that were in full force in the United States, and they were in full force for 40 years, from 1950 to 1990. And what they did was they trapped people, families, and generations in total dependence upon the state. And it was a complete system failure. This is an evil system. A complete system failure. And in fact, the awful things that were done in the name of the state trying to help the poor has damaged our society that even after 15 years of welfare to work programs, which really emphasize independence over dependence and progression to independence, our society is still suffering the devastating effects from that evil system. And again, it was mostly instituted by well-meaning and even compassionate people, but they were totally humanistic. That was really the issue. So when Jesus said in Luke 12:8, you will always have the poor among you, did he mean that we would really never eradicate poverty? Did he mean that no matter how intent we are to commit our time and resources, that there will always be some people without food, without a home, naked, alone? And even if we put all our money toward the eradication of poverty, will we never be successful? And the answer to these questions is yes. That's very true. We won't be successful. But Jesus still talked a lot about giving to the poor. He didn't let us off the hook just because he stated truthfully that the poor will always be among us. He instructed the rich young man in Mark 10 to sell all that he had and give it to the poor. You know, he said, sell all you have and give to the poor in order to have eternal life. Jesus visited the home of Zacharias, and he was a tax collector. I'm sorry, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And he declared that now I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And what did Jesus declare right after that? He said, today salvation has come to this house. Giving, salvation. We know that it's not a works mentality that Jesus is putting out there. But what he is saying is that is the evidence of your salvation giving to the poor? And if it isn't, then there's probably something missing. So it seems as though there are two truths that are going on here at the very same time. In other words, no matter what we do, we won't eradicate poverty, but God commands us to try anyway. So we had another question that was raised from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus talked about giving to the poor, who did he mean? Who are the poor? Now we know what the seculars, the government will tell you are the poor, but what does the Bible say are the poor? The meaning of the poor in biblical context is basically directed towards those who lack food and shelter. It's Leviticus 25:35 and it's James 2:15. It has nothing to do with poverty as defined by the state, which is based on comparison with affluence, such as someone who has a difficulty getting a car, or someone who wants to buy a television set and they can't, or someone who wants the latest video game. The comparison between the affluent and people who have less than that is not the biblical definition of poor. The world preaches and values ambition to get more, have more, achieve more. But the Christian point of view is, or it should be, contentment and satisfaction with what God has provided. Contentment puts poverty in the right perspective, because the Christian who is content with having enough to eat and drink, even if it's more or less than most others have, will not have a sentimental view of those that the state classifies as poor. If a Christian encounters someone who doesn't have enough to eat or drink or a place to stay, he should see that they are provided with what they need and not spend any time lamenting their lack in light of what he has or what they don't have. To oppress the poor in the biblical sense does not mean to maintain a social system of inequality. Oppressing the poor according to the Bible is clearly defined as robbing people and reducing them to poverty by means of false measure, oppressive laws, and corrupt judges. And all of these are part of systemic poverty. According to this truth, poverty is not a permanent condition defining the essence of a person, but a circumstance to be relieved by the restoration of justice and/or by charitable help until the person can resume his normal status in society, one in which he contributes rather than being the recipient of contributions. It is better to give than to receive. This doesn't mean that it's bad to receive. It just means that giving is always the better of the two. Any Christian program or ministry to the poor must have as its goal to get the person receiving into a position to be a giver. You apply this truth to every circumstance with people who are in need, and it will set them free. The old delusion that poverty is a sign of immoral living and wealth a sign of moral worth is being replaced in society by one that says the opposite. There certainly seems to be a biblical basis for this, since Jesus said, "I am close to the poor and brokenhearted." So is God on the side of the poor, or as was believed in another age, is he on the side of the rich? For that was how they got rich. God gave them. Well, the truth is that both concepts are grotesque caricatures of biblical teachings. The biblical writers were not sentimental about the poor, but recognized that they could also be evil, just as the rich could be evil. While most of the warnings in this respect were directed against those who were partial to the rich, against interests of the poor, it was also considered impermissible to favor the poor over the expense of justice. Ecclesiastes 23:3, Leviticus 19:15. Rich people who oppressed the poor were condemned. James 2:6, 5:1. But it was also acknowledged that the rich could be righteous, Psalms 112, and of course, Job. There was to be a recognition that the amount of wealth was of little importance in assessing a person. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, James 1:9. Thus, poverty and wealth are morally neutral. Neither one is an evil to be ashamed of, nor a sign of special worth of transcending glory. As I've already stated, the systemic poverty was reached a new dimension in society with the advent of the state welfare programs. And although welfare imitated the biblical and does imitate the biblical prophetic voices, including that of the Savior himself, by calling for justice to the poor, it was in reality an idol that demoted human beings to the permanent status of victim, and defined their faults as a consequence of their environment, and worst of all, made it virtually impossible for them to ever attain freedom from the system of poverty. The task became known as serving the poor, but to serve them continually is to keep them dependent and turns them into service creatures of the state. There was a great book that was written by a man named Dr. Herbert Schlossberg, and it's called Idols for Destruction. And in that book he wrote, "Christians ought not to support any policy toward the poor that does not seek to have them occupy the same high plane of useful existence that all of us are to exemplify." Serving the poor is a euphemism for destroying the poor, unless it includes with it the intention of seeing the poor begin to serve others and thereby validate the words of Jesus that it is better to give than to receive, and that's Acts 20:35. Whereas humanitarian social policy keeps people helplessly dependent, Christians should seek to remove them from that status and return them to productive capacity. Serving is a higher calling than being served. True biblical Christian giving occurs within the context of relationship. Do we really believe that it is God's plan to help the needy by having them stand in a line waiting for a loaf of bread to be handed to them by someone they have never met nor may never see again? In true Christian giving, people redistribute their own property, not of others. When we enter into relationship, then we can discern the difference between making someone permanently dependent and just helping them over a rough spot. Relationship-based voluntary giving of your own resources makes it possible to meet real needs and not the desires created by government definitions. So once all our research was exhausted, then we turned our attention to hearing from the Lord. And he was gracious to send revelation from the Holy Spirit. And I'm happy to give you the fruits of our labor and the revelation which we've accepted as God's word for the elimination of systemic poverty in Elk River and the surrounding area. And that brings us to this paper. On one side you will see it says, Love Elk River, Statement on Elimination of Systemic Poverty in Elk River. This was developed through Love Elk River. It was approved by Love Elk River Board of Directors, and it's already been approved and agreed on by the Pray Elk River Servant Leader Team. This is the word of God on elimination of systemic poverty in the city, and I'm going to read it, and you can look at it along with me. City transformation has been going on in the Elk River area since 1996. Pray Elk River, a prayer movement involving both marketplace and pulpit ministers, leads these self-transformation efforts, which generally follow the guidelines for nation transformation set out by Ed Silvoso, the head of Harvest Evangelism, and that was in his book, Anointed for Business. The five pivotal paradigms evident in a nation transformed, and of course city reaching, we're talking about that also, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, as identified in Silvoso's book are, and those are the five that I talked about. Believers are called to disciple nations, not just individuals. The marketplace, which is the heart of the nation, has been redeemed, but now it must be reclaimed. Every Christian is a minister, and labor is worship. Christians are called to take the kingdom of God to where the kingdom of darkness is still entrenched, for people to turn from darkness to light, and Jesus will build his church. Number five, nation transformation must be tangible, with the premier social indicator being the elimination of systemic poverty. Much of Pray Elk River city transformation efforts center on building kingdom-minded businesses and churches, which embrace these five paradigms. However, the evidence of a city transformed is found almost entirely in the fifth paradigm, that is, the elimination of systemic poverty. In fact, the efforts of establishing kingdom-minded businesses and churches must result in a positive effect on the lives of the poor in the city, or it can be said that transformation is not complete. The relation between the establishment of kingdom-minded businesses and churches and the elimination of systemic poverty has to do with the building up of the body of Christ within the church. It is through the knowledge and acceptance by all Christians in the church that they are salt and light to a dark and hurting world that systemic poverty will be eliminated. When all believers in Jesus Christ living and working in the city act as salt and light in their everyday lives, at work, at home, in the neighborhoods, in churches, in schools, the needs of the poor will be seen and met in such a way that the system of poverty will be broken and ended. And Love Elk River fully embraces this Holy Spirit-inspired method of eliminating systemic poverty and commits its efforts to advancing the elimination of systemic poverty by supporting ministries which embrace the same belief and principles. So we got that statement, we got that revelation. And so we implemented it, we put it together, and we decreed it. The next step, however, is how do we get there? How do we get from where we are now, which is primarily a ministry and charity-based helping and service to the poor? How do we get from that place, which is a fine place? It really is not something that we should disdain or be ashamed of. What God is calling us to get from that place, ministry-based, charity-based, to the statement on elimination of systemic poverty. While you'll find it on the other side, this is an answer from to what God has given us about how do we get from where we are to where we are going. And it has been adopted by the Love Elk River Board of Directors. It has not been adopted by Pray Elk River. It's still being discerned, not because they disagree with it, just simply because we haven't had an opportunity to go through it yet. But I want to read this because this really speaks about where we are, where we get into this. So it's a statement on discipling to elimination of systemic poverty. Elk River Area Helping Ministries, and I'm talking about CARE, Basic, Love Elk River, all kinds of helping ministries, the Second Harvest, the Food Shelf, all kinds of things, are helping ministries through which God's people get an upfront and personal look at poverty and the poor. These ministries also have an important role in the coming season when His Word, as adopted by the Love Elk River Board of Directors and Pray Elk River Servant Leader Team, on elimination of systemic poverty will become a reality. God intends to use these ministries as gateways through which His people will come to know and understand who they are as salt and light to a dark and hurting world and act out of that knowledge and understanding wherever they are at all times. All helping gospel-based ministries in the city must become fashioned in such a way that they will fulfill their role in God's ultimate plan to eliminate systemic poverty in all four areas, material, spiritual, motivational, and relational, in the city and the surrounding area. This will require some paradigm shifting to move the local body of Christ from church as usual to understanding and accepting God's call on each life to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world and disciple nations with the word and demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit. These helping ministries must operate in such a way as to touch the heart of everyone involved, leaders, volunteers, donors, associates, and those being helped, with God's love for His creation, especially for the lost and hurting. These ministries must focus on the need in the world as well as the local need, carry the message that Jesus Christ is the answer to every problem, and inspire a personal desire for everyone involved to enter the harvest field as a laborer. And then it speaks about Love Elk River being raised up by God and being prepared to provide training as well as ongoing discipleship for God's laborers. And then we include what we would have in our training. And then at the bottom it says, when systemic poverty is eliminated in the city of Elk River and the surrounding area, there will be unprecedented abundance. This will be brought to neighboring communities to help the poor and needy. Opportunity will be provided to introduce those communities to God's word about elimination of systemic poverty and His faithfulness to bring it to reality in the Elk River area, and it will grow and it will move. I really believe that what God's word to us is really centered on the fact that with everything that we are doing in transformation, transformation churches, transformation businesses, it comes down to one thing. And that is, we need to do what God is asking us to do as far as the least of us is concerned. It comes down to the very bottom of who He really is after to begin with. Because His eye is always on the sparrow. Always. He loves to see churches growing. He loves to see businesses growing and giving and prospering and spreading the gospel in all areas. But His real heart and our heart needs to be in the same place that His is, and that is on the sparrow. It's not programmatic. It's not a ministry. And it's going to be something that will give all the glory to God, because there won't be anything that we can grab onto or take credit for. When every believer in the city comes to know who they are, is salt and light to a dark and hurting world, and acts out of that wherever they are, whether they're in their homes, in work, in their apartments, in their schools, wherever they are, in the street, in the grocery store, wherever they are, when they're doing that, it will become a part of our lives. It will just be natural. We won't have anything to boast about. All we'll say if anybody comes and asks the question, what's different about this city, is that we will say, we don't know. We're just being who God has asked us to be. I'm going to end with something I feel is really important for us here. And I've had this down here in this talk, and I'm probably going to use it in the book, but I haven't spoken it out. But I think it's important for here. It's a writing from the book of Sirach. Now, Sirach was not included in the Hebrew Bible after the first century AD, and it's not recognized in the Protestant Bibles, but it is recognized by the Catholic Church as divinely inspired and canonical. Recently, a portion of the book of Sirach was written. It was in the original Hebrew and was actually found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So that ends my defense of Sirach. But the major theme of this text is to give wisdom and insight to the poor man concerning his dealings with rich people, with rich men. But it's also a good word for all of us Christians to heed so that we don't fall into the trap of either deliberately or unconsciously treating the poor with anything but loving kindness, honor, and respect. Now, Sirach is somewhat cynical and fatalistic, and it's Sirach 13, I'm sorry, but it presents an excellent picture of what life might look like from a poor man's or woman's viewpoint. Sirach 13, 2 through 25. It says, "Bear no burden too heavy for you. Go with no one greater or wealthier than yourself. How can the earthen pot go with the metal cauldron? When they knock together, the pot will be smashed. The rich man does wrong and boasts of it. The poor man is wronged and begs forgiveness. As long as the rich man can use you, he will enslave you. But when you are exhausted, he will abandon you. As long as you have anything, he will speak fair words to you, and with smiles, he will win your confidence. When he needs something from you, he will cajole you. Then without regret, he will impoverish you. While it serves his purpose, he will beguile you. Then twice or three times, he will terrify you. When later he sees you, he will pass you by and shake his head over you. Guard against being presumptuous. Be not as those who lack sense. When invited by a man of influence, keep your distance. Then he will urge you all the more. Be not bold with him, lest you be rebuffed, but keep not too far away, lest you be forgotten. Engage not freely in discussion with him. Trust not his many words, for by prolonged talk he will test you, and though smiling, he will probe you. Mercilessly, he will make you a laughingstock and will not refrain from injury or chains. Every living thing loves its own kind, and every man, a man like himself. Every being is drawn to its own kind, and with his own kind, every man associates. Can there be peace between the hyena and the dog, or between the rich and the poor? Can there be peace? Lions prey on the wild donkeys of the desert, so too the poor are the feeding grounds for the rich. A proud man abhors lowliness, so does the proud rich man abhor the poor. When a rich man stumbles, he is supported by a friend. When a poor man trips, he is pushed down by a friend. Many are the supporters for a rich man when he speaks, though what he says may be nonsense, it wins approval. When a poor man speaks, they make sport of him. He speaks wisely, and no attention is paid him. A rich man speaks, and all are silent. His wisdom they extol to the clouds. A poor man speaks, and they say, 'Who is that?' If he slips, they cast him down. Wealth is good when there is no sin. Poverty is evil by the standards of the proud and rich." As Christians, we need to be free of any actions or thoughts that even remotely are close to what is described as characteristic of a rich man in Sirach. We must contritely and sincerely repent for all past actions or thoughts where we have judged harshly, wrongly, oppressed, or marginalized the poor, or even anyone less wealthier than ourselves. Just a few more of these wonderful scriptures that really speak of God's heart for the poor. Luke 6, 20, 38. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. But woe to you who are rich, for you already have received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And if you lend to those with whom you expect repayment, what credit is that for you? Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Give it, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Thank you very much. It's been great being here with you. And bless you, Living Waters Church.
Sorry, it caught me by surprise. Just give me a second here to get harnessed up. Wow, how many feel like you've just been on a whirlwind tour? We can read about it later. I think that's a book that I'm going to get. Wow. So much more than money. As she was talking, do you know that the church has traditionally been set up to promote systemic poverty of revelation? The church has been set up to say, you come and you give to me. The church has been set up to say, come on to those that have the know. Come to the pastor, come to the priest, come to the person that has the revelation, and they'll dole out to you as they see fit. See, with the breaking of systemic poverty of revelation in the church is rooted in the fact and grounded in really the vision that I had a couple years ago, where I looked out over the congregation, I saw diamonds, I saw treasures, I saw possibilities here in the chairs. Amen. Where you can get revelation, where you have everything that is available from the kingdom of heaven to you is available for you to get. And then you become the one that gives out of the abundance of your heart. See, the church traditionally has been set up in such a way that you have the haves and you have the have-nots. You have those that, you know, for years where the church is, the thing that they've valued, that we've valued, is to, if you're going to serve God, then go to seminary. And become a missionary or a pastor or somebody, some kind of a holy man. And that's just created a poverty of spirit and creativity that God has designed for the church of Jesus Christ to be released in. So, you just set some things off in me. It's an old saying, but if you want to meet somebody's poor, you can either give them a fish or you can teach them to fish. See, we're the church is being, there's a shift going on in the church where it's no longer my duty to give you a bunch of fish. There is nothing that I can't make anybody eat anything. I can't make anybody drink anything. And there's been a lot of pastors that have burned out trying. See, but you have freedom. You have liberty. You have an anointing that dwells in you. You have the giver of all truth. You have the author and the finisher of your faith that resides in you. You have the creativity of the creator of the universe in you to be able to learn how to fish. To be able to learn how to get that which can only satisfy the heart and the soul of man. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. See, in you is everything that pertains to life and godliness. In you is everything that you need to break the systemic poverty that has been upon the church. How many want to see the church rise up in revelation? How many want to see the church be the, once again, be the ones that lead the music industry? How many want to see the church be the ones that come up with the inventions that are going to break diseases? You know, how many want to see the church be the leaders in forgiveness, leaders in generosity once again? How many want to see the church be those that are not the tail just waiting for a handout from some pastor, some priest that might is supposed to have it all? See, there is something organic that God is raising up in the church in this day and in this hour. And what you carry of the kingdom of God is more critically important to be released and given away than ever before. See, what I was hearing here is it's no longer a thing of come to the church, come to the church, come to the church and receive. While that's good, and it's part of our fellowship and our love for one another, it's not meant to stay here. We're called to take what we've received of the grace of God and then take and release it into those that need it. The key to breaking poverty, whether it's financial, relational, material, any of the areas that she mentioned, is learning how to become, to position yourself as a giver. See, the natural man, the carnal mind says that when you have lack, you want to hoard. I want to keep what I've got. But the scripture, the kingdom, says that if you're going to hoard, if you're going to keep the things that you have, you're going to lose even what you have. Jesus taught a lot of parables about that. To him who has, more is going to be given. Why? Because they give it away. But to him who has, the servant who dug and hid the talent in the ground, who hoarded it, who was fearful with it, even that which he has was going to be taken away. This is exciting. This is exciting. Do you remember a month or so ago, the church was in a financial situation, and we brought it to the body here, and you all responded so powerfully. But we as leaders purposed that in our need, we took what we had. And some people, I know that some people haven't quite understood why we did what we did. And some people may even be offended that we took the last of our reserve and we chose to give it away. And, you know, if you're offended with that, please talk to me. You'd have to hear my heart. You'd have to hear our heart as leaders of why we did that. But this is specifically the reason. This is the principle. This is the kingdom dynamic that we were releasing into this house. Amen. When we took the last of our reserve and said, God, we're trusting you. We're not trusting our reserves. We will give to the last in obedience to you. All of your life will hinge on that principle. You want forgiveness for your sin? Forgive. Be free. Be generous with forgiveness. You want relationships? Be free. Be generous with your relationships. How many are glad for somebody in government that sees it? Anointed for government. I love it. Man, Stephanie, you are anointed for government. It's an anointing that comes from on high. It's an anointing that comes from the throne of God. God's going to teach you to walk in anointing in a greater measure than you have already. God is going to bring creative ideas to you, creative inspirations that are going to break and to break open the things that are in your heart. God's going to bring people around you that are going to get the vision and you're going to see it. And he's going to release the things that are in your heart in a very, very real way. I see it more clearly today than I have seen it in the past. Amen. Thank you for sharing it. Well, let's take an offering. How many want to be a cheerful giver today? Yeah, come on. Be more excited than that. You know, we believe in the tithe. The tithe is, and I'm going to be teaching on this, by the way, but the tithe, I believe, is something that's dedicated to the house, to the local assembly. But there's a second blessing. That's called the offering. When you go beyond the tithe, which is really, in my view, the minimum of what you want to give, and you enter into the thing called offering. An offering is something that you just give out of the generous heart of God. You give with cheerfulness into something that you feel like God is leading you to give into.
Can I just say,
you can.
Something that's happened.
You want to take the offering?
Actually can. It's really exciting because, as I said when I talked, that biblical giving is giving of your own resources and also in relationship so that there's a discernment about, how much you're giving and it comes from God and it's voluntary, and then also who is the one who's receiving. And then, of course, we've already talked about what God says are the needy. And then we don't keep them in dependence. We want to raise them up to be independent and also to become givers. And I'm going to really put somebody who's here this morning on the spot. And I'm doing this because the Holy Spirit is saying it's okay. It's somebody that Love Elk River has recently begun walking with. I believe that Leslie and Rosie Elizondo and a couple of other women are walking with her. She is a mother of four children, and I believe her four children are here with her this morning. She's homeless, and this is her first move into the community to really be recognized as somebody who needs, but as somebody we know already, even having a little bit of information that we have about her, that she will be raised up and she will become a giver. And it's Mary, because Leslie's the one's walking. I'm Teresa. Teresa and Mary, can you both come up for just, I know I don't, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying it's okay, because what we're going to do is, I sit as the chair of the board, and Leslie is a member of the board, and Bob is a member of the board, and if we can agree, I would like to give this directly to her. I want you to feel this relationship that we now have with Therese and Mary, her friend, and to tell you that there is a family in need, and she is here today. This was not planned. We had no idea that she was going to be coming, but I'm so blessed that she's here for God to be able to demonstrate. So here she is. God bless her. Yep.
All right. Well, if we can just bless Teresa. But one of the really cool things about Love Elk River is they will bring people around somebody like Teresa that just needs a friend, just needs somebody that understands her, just loves her. And Mary and Rosie are doing that, and that's exciting. Mary,
you got us together. So.
What's that?
You brought us together. When I called you.
Oh, I guess I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was through Living Waters that she came to Love Elk River.
By golly, I accidentally had a part in that.
You know what?
But I appreciate Mary has discipled and shepherded a lot of young ladies. What I really believe God wants to do in this house, who is it that you're discipling? Who is it that you're giving your life to? I want to encourage you. There are opportunities for you to give away what you have in a very, very real and specific way. So we're going to take this offering, and it's by Mayor's desire, and she's just, now what she's doing is she is functioning out of the same principle that I just mentioned. Love Elk River could use this offering, but she has chosen to give this offering to Teresa. Is that cool? Is that cool? Kingdom somehow just works differently. Let's just take an offering. Go ahead and pass out the baskets. Father, oh. Oh, make the checks out to Living Waters Church. And what we will do is we'll write a check out to Love Elk River. And the entire offering will go to Love Elk River for them to do with as it sees fit. But I want to encourage us as a body, from time to time, when you feel like you want to give to the poor, when you want to give to the needy, I would encourage you to keep Love Elk River on your radar screen. Amen. It is a nonprofit. It's set up, and you may not know anybody yourself. I have a feeling if we looked around, we'd see people with need. I believe God wants to highlight generosity in our hearts in such a way that people will be blessed around us. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're just going to take a few minutes as the offering is being collected here. If you're embarrassed enough, you can go sit down now. Let's give her a hand. You know, you have certain proud moments that you just remember. One of my proudest moments of the body, of you, is the day that somebody was up here and had a need. It was, actually, we were just praying to release her to go to Kansas City. And just spontaneously, just do you remember that day? Spontaneously. Somebody came up and gave something to her. And I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was talking to her, doing something. What's he doing, you know? And then somebody else came up. And somebody else came up. I think, did we take his hat off, the kid's hat off? Yeah, and we started, and by the time you, just out of a spontaneous response, by the time we were done, his hat was overflowing with finances. She had, I think it was, if I might be wrong on the numbers, but something like $1,100 that she needed to get her car out of hock. She had just had transmission work done. She needed another couple, you know, like $800-$900 to make the move that she was by faith making. And if I remember, what you gave that day provided for her to get her car out of hock and to make the move. Somewhere around $2,000 came in, just without anybody taking an offering. Just a spontaneous response of generosity on your part. That's a blessing. Those things mean more to me as a pastor than any finely written sermon that I could preach. The demonstration of love that was brought in that moment. I don't think I got to preach that day. How many are finding that I'm getting to preach less and less all the time? And how many of you are liking it? My son raises his hand in the back. Yeah, I love it. Let's stand together. How many know that God is a good God? And he's in a good mood. And he has good things. Let's just put your hand on your heart. Let's pray. Father, Lord, the things that we've heard here today in just a whirlwind released something into the atmosphere, and it released something into each of our hearts and each of our minds and each of our understandings. Father, that there are things of the kingdom that were released, some truths of the kingdom that were released. Father, for those of us that have not understood these principles or that have had just a nominal understanding of the way kingdom works in the area of the system of the world that produces poverty. Father, we're just speaking a breaking of that off of our hearts. We speak a breaking of that off of our minds. We speak a breaking of that off of our habits. And Father, I pray that you would cause us to be an even more generous people beyond finances, that we'd be generous with our hearts, be generous with who you've created us to be. Father, release this body to be salt and light generously in their spheres of influence. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in our area or plan on traveling to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.